In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is so great to be with you today as we start a new week. And I'm so excited this week because this week we are starting a tour of Texas, a special speaking tour in the state of Texas with some great speakers, some very good friends of mine from the land down under, from Australia. You see one of them, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can see one of them sitting next to me now, Kevin Bailey. Say hello to everybody, Kevin.
G'day, everybody. How you going?
It's so awesome. So just a little bit of background. Kevin and I have been friends for, what, did I meet in 2014.
Yeah,
the first time I went to Australia was 2012, and then we met when you came to the States.
Yeah, we met in San Diego.
Yeah, I picked you guys up at the airport, and
we drove down to San Diego.
Yeah, that's the first time I got a chance to know you. And I was telling you, I thought you were nuts. I said, this guy's a little crazy.
When Deacon Harold thinks I'm nuts, you know I must be really nuts.
No, you just have such a big personality. And when I got to know you, I was like, wow. I mean, it's real, but there's so much depth to you. I mean, you're such a good person. It's been really get to know you and now your family, your wife, Grace, who's amazing, and your children. It's
amazing
just been
Grace.
Wonderful. Yeah. yes, indeed. She is. She is. That's quite apropos because she is amazing.
Absolutely.
Grace.
To be married to me and put up with me, that's she goes straight to heaven. Doesn't have to go through purgatory. She's done it here on earth.
All right. So as far as the tour, so last night was the first night of the tour. We were at, in fact, we're broadcasting now from St. Francis Assisi Catholic Church in Grapevine, Texas. Mm-hmm. We're grateful to the parish here. I've been here twice before. I was here like 10 years ago to do a men's conference, and then I came back for a parish mission, so it's been a while since I've been here. But they were so gracious to welcome us for the first night of the tour. Tonight, we're continuing with night two. We're going to be in Fort Worth, Texas at St. Andrew Catholic Church tonight.
Yep.
And then we go on to Lockhart Wednesday, Kerrville on Thursday, San Antonio on Friday, Pearland, and then Orange, and we're also doing a mini pilgrimage as well, because there are a lot of amazing Catholic sites and pilgrimage sites in the San Antonio area, so we're taking some time and visiting some of those as well, because who knows when you guys ever get here again down to Texas.
Indeed.
And this is the third year of our speaking tour. So we started off the first year 2 years ago in California, and then we went to the Midwest, Missouri, and Kansas and Alabama. And then we were on the East Coast last year. We started in Florida, worked our way up to Massachusetts, across to Steubenville. Scott Hahn, Dr. Mm-hmm. Scott Hahn hosted us at the St. Paul Center Biblical Theology. We ended at the men's conference in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And this year we decided just to do the state of Texas. Because
it's so big.
It's so big.
It's so big.
Why not, you know?
Deep in the heart of Texas.
See, you all make me laugh through this whole show, man.
I'll have to behave.
But Kevin is just a great. And we'll learn more about Kevin and also the great work that he's doing. He's doing some amazing things in the life of the church in Australia. So we'll learn all about that and about parish renewal.
Absolutely.
And that's really our theme today. And Kevin really, I mean, all kidding aside, he's an expert in this area. So if you have any questions about what you can do to renew your parish, to keep your kids faithful to the church, and you have an amazing story about your son. Oh. Like your son flat out told you, I ain't going to church. I mean, and the battles you guys had, and then what's happening with him now is just incredible. So we'd love to hear from you about parish renewal, renewing your faith, especially in the life of the parish. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And because Kevin's on in this segment, what we do now when we have a live guest, we move the Soulful Psalm segment to right now, which we're going to do now, and so we can spend more time with Kevin in the next segment. my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the psalms from the Book of Sung Praises from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass and when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. Now, today we're continuing our look at Psalm 119. It's by far the longest of all the psalms. It's like 150 verses, and it's broken up into 22 sections, 22 letters of the Jewish alphabet. And so each segment of Psalm 119 is broken after a different broken into segments based on a Jewish letter, Jewish alphabet. And it's an extended meditation on God's law. Today we're going to be looking at the Kof strophes. That's verses 145. Well, it's 145 to 152, but we're only going to be able to take a look at a couple of the verses today. So if you have your Bible, Psalm 119, starting at verse 145. So this section, 145 to 152, is the Kof. So Kof is the 19th letter of the Jewish alphabet. Okay. And so it's, again, beautiful extended meditation on God's law. So it starts here in verse 145. I call with all my heart, Lord, answer me. Wow, what a beautiful way, huh, to start the I call with all my heart. Now notice, it is not the psalmist again. This is Psalm 119 doesn't have a prescript or a superscript, so it doesn't describe who the author of this psalm is. We don't know. But it's a beautiful meditation on the law. And to start this psalm off, I call with all my heart. He's not calling out with his voice to the Lord. He's calling out with his heart. Now, we've talked about before on the show how the word heart is leb in Hebrew. And it just doesn't mean the organ that pumps blood through your body. It's the seat of the will. The heart is the place where your desire for God lives inside of you. So this is the place where the psalmist is crying out. I call with all my heart from the depth of my being. Because, Lord, when I cry out to you, I want to make a connection with you. I want to make a connection of intimacy and communion with you. So I'm calling out with all my heart. Lord, answer me. Why? It's a conversation. It's a relationship. So when you're in a relationship, it's a two-way conversation. It's a two-way street. And especially covenant relationship, it's like marriage, right? Is the I guess the penultimate, well, Eucharist, of course, but then the image that's used all throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation between God and his people is a marriage, is a wedding, an exchange of love, life, intimacy, and communion. So the psalmist is crying out, Lord, answer me, right? His heart. I'm crying out with my heart. Lord, you answer me with your heart. Give me your Holy Spirit so I can hear your voice in my life, so I can hear your words, not with my ears, but with the ear of my heart. Right? I just love that. And I think about this when I'm in adoration especially, because that's where I unite my heart with the Lord's heart in stillness and silence and in quiet. And he continues, I will observe your statutes. Now look at willfully. Freely observing God's statutes. Why? Because following God's law frees us. See, the culture is just the opposite. They think the rules and commandments and moral codes of the church enslave us. No, just the opposite is true. By following the commands of the Lord, it allows us to become the person who God created us to be, because our will, our wants, needs, hopes, desires, and dreams are in communion with God's will. And when our will is in communion with God's will, that's true freedom. That's true freedom. What happens in the culture is when we become a slave to our vices, that's license. That's not freedom. We become a slave to our lust, to our passions, to our pride, to greed, to money, to all. We just heard in the gospel this past weekend, you know, Jesus talks about humility. Again, humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means think of yourself less. Is making a gift of yourself to the other person. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He said, and so we have a what's called the synonymous parallelism here. So he's expressing the same idea, but a little bit differently. I call upon you, save me. Ah, so he's calling from his heart for salvation, for God to save him. Now, remember, we cried out to God and God did hear us. He sent Jesus Christ. He sent his son, our Lord and Savior, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And what did he do? He died on the cross to save us, because the worst effect of sin is death. And so Christ dying shows that not even death, being cut off from God, is more powerful than God's merciful love. You know, so I love this. These songs were written between 800 and 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. And yet we can plumb from the depths of it the beauty of Christ speaking to us. He goes, I will keep your decrees, right? I just love that. All right, we're here with Kevin Bailey from the Land Down Under, and we're on a speaking tour. It's actually called Speak, Lord, Your Servant is Listening. That's the name of our tour. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Little Australian jig. Wanted Kevin to feel at home.
That sounds more like Irish.
Well, there's a lot of Irish in Australia.
Oh, okay. Oh, fantastic.
So you learn something new every day.
So if you feel at home then when you listen to something like this. And what you
to be sure, it's just Irish just falling in love. Bailey's.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the tagline.
That's right.
That's the tagline. Kevin Bailey. It's Irish just falling in love.
Oh, that's awesome. I feel like doing a jig right now, man, listening to that. That's cool.
You've been running. You got the legs for it.
Yeah, I did 7 miles today on the treadmill.
On the treadmill.
It's too hot to walk out. Man, it's humid out here down here in Dallas. Man.
And the Land Down Under?
Yeah, that's right.
I think this is the south weather, deep south.
Yeah. Well, you know, because every time I go there, I was going during our summer, which is your winter, so I'm always cold when I go there.
Yeah.
I got to try and come like during
come
December
summer.
When it's your summer.
It's stinking hot.
Yeah. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have the one and only Kevin Bailey, who's one of the speakers on tour with us. We're doing a tour with Australian speakers, and this is our third year doing a tour in the United States, because I always go over there. So I said it's only fair if I bring them over here. So Kevin is one of the speakers. And we're doing a tour of Texas. Just go to my website, deaconharold.com. Just scroll down. You click on the banner. You see the pictures of the four of us there. And you see all the dates in Texas. We were in Grapevine last night. We were in Fort Worth. And then we go to Kerrville and Tyler and some other places for the rest of this week. So take a look at the schedule. Kevin's here to talk to us about parish renewal. He's an expert in parish renewal. He will share some about that. But if you have any questions about how you can improve things at your parish, or maybe keep your kids in the church or in the faith, or, you know, how to talk to someone about what it means to be Catholic. Kevin's the man to ask. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as we were talking about the heart of Texas, well, of course, we are celebrating four new stations in the EWTN family. Light of Jesus, 89.9. They're actually in Manhattan, Kansas. Red Sea Radio at 91.9 in Texas. And then, of course, they're at the Diocese of Victoria. And then Catholic Spirit Radio, 90.5 in Charleston, Illinois. And then our fourth one, 94.5 in Rockford, Illinois. We welcome to the family with EWTN. From all of us, welcome, and we look forward to many more years. Of course, remember, if you're listening on those stations for the first time, your support is what keeps them on the air. So thank you for your gifts and your support with EWTN.
All right. You're listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we have a very, very special guest, Kevin Bailey from Australia, who is here with me and two other Australian speakers. We're on a speaking tour of the state of Texas. Kevin, I'm going to have all the guys on the show this week, but Kevin's up first. And so, Kevin, this is your first time being on the show. This is not the first time we're together. We've been together a lot.
Yeah.
But the first time on the show. So people hearing you, they're not sure. Just share us a little bit about your faith background.
Yeah.
You know, were you always Catholic? Did you struggle? And what kinds of things are you doing now in the life of the church?
Yeah, well, look, I was born at a very early age. But I wasn't a Catholic then. But within a couple of weeks, I became Catholic. So cradle Catholic, Catholic all my life. And I married a beautiful Catholic girl. And she is very, you know, faith-filled. And she keeps me on the straight and narrow, that's for sure. But what I found was I was focusing my life on success and trying to get ahead in life and trying to... I grew up in pretty poor circumstances where I grew up in government housing, and Dad was a factory worker. And so I was determined that I was going to make something of myself. And so very driven, type A personality. Got very involved in our local parish, but not much was happening. You know, we were in a bit of decline in the church in Australia over the last 40 or 50 years. It's not just Australia, but right across the Western world. We found that really from the 60s, 70s, 80s, the church was experimenting with all sorts of things. And lots of my friends that I went to school with, none of them practiced anymore. Most of my family members that were going to church in the 60s and 70s weren't going to the church in the 80s and 90s. And so we got married in 1990, Grace and I. We've got seven wonderful kids. So we're raising our kids. I was out involved in making money and building a business and doing all those sorts of things, which we think are very important. And they are very important. But our gospel reading over the weekend was that you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. And so when one of my sons decided he wasn't going to go to church anymore, it was incredibly distressing. Particularly for my wife, who was very, very upset about the fact that so many young people were just leaving the church and they were not necessarily going to be coming back. So we had to make a big shift in our focus. And I thought, well, what's going on and what can I do to make a difference? I complained a lot. And I think Theodore Roosevelt, when he was at the Sorbonne, he spoke about the man in the arena, where the credit belongs to not to those who are on the sidelines griping about things, but to those who are actually in the arena, where their face is marred by blood and sweat and tears, and they're prepared to do something so that if they fail, they fail while daring greatly, you know. Mm-hmm. So at least they give it a red-hot shot. And so when I started talking about someone should do something about this, my wife looked at me and she said, well, you're somebody. And so I had nowhere left to go. So I've become very, very involved. 15 years ago, I made the decision that I was just going to focus my life and energies on trying to do God's will and to actually build up the kingdom and to make a change. And one of the things, I tell you a funny story about my wife, she used to always say, what's on your heart? What's on your heart? And it used to... You know, I'm a male, so I got really bugged out about the idea that, you know, I don't know what's on my heart. She kept on prying and prying, and I would get really annoyed at her. Stop asking, you know. And it wasn't until I recognized that it was because she loved me and she wanted to know me more deeply that she was asking me that question. And so fair exchange is no robbery. I went before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration, and I thought, I'll start this one. Jesus, what's on your heart, Lord? What's on your heart? You know, that's a very dangerous prayer to pray, because God answers prayers, and, you know, what's on his heart is the lost and the lonely, and he wants all souls to come to heaven. And what I recognized was I was focusing on getting involved in my own faith and building my own faith. And it's not about me. It's about the people that God wants us to go out and reach. And so it's not that the church has a mission. It's that Jesus's mission has a church. And that's our job, is to actually be the hands and the feet. And he privileges us with being able to actually be a part of this incredible adventure that he has of bringing all souls to heaven. And so we not only pray for that, but we have to actually do things to actually make that happen. So, you know, God is really, what's on his heart is really wanting us to really be on mission for him and to be making a difference. And so the parish should be the only club in town that exists for its non-members. We fall into the trap of thinking that we're in a club, and we come along and they provide all sorts of services, things for the kids, things for us, Bible studies, all these things that feed us all the time. When in fact, what we've got to be doing is going out from the parish as it's a bit like a fort that's out in the wilderness. And from there, we can go out and we can spread the good news and we can actually share with others. And so the idea is that the club should be the only club that exists for its non-members.
Yeah, I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to the Beacon of Truth, and you're like, that doesn't sound like Deacon Harold.
Sorry, I talk a lot. Wind him up, you can't shut him up.
Yeah, that's because we have a special guest, Kevin Bailey. Kevin and I, along with Charbel Raish and Dr. Robert Haddad, were on a speaking tour of Texas, and I thought it'd be great to have the guys on the show this weekend. So Kevin's kicking things off, and Kevin is a former very successful financial planner, businessman, business owner. He's a philanthropist now, and really dedicating his life to serving the church in a very powerful way. You heard him, how passionate he is. He's talking about parish renewal. And, you know, one thing I want to mention, Kevin, when there's a couple of things you said that struck me. First of all, you talk how our job is to go out. And so,
yes.
Well, and it's the Eucharist that prepares us for that. We're fed with the word and the sacrament and mass, and then we're kicked out. Like, go out. To do, not just to go get something to eat after church, right? I mean, but to go and to do what you just said, to make the mission of Christ real in people's lives, to share our experience and our love.
That's what
of
the
Jesus.
Word mass comes from. When that dismissal, that go and bring others and to change other people's lives. It really feeds us. The Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith, but it actually gives us the opportunity to then be strengthened in the way that Jesus strengthened the disciples at the Transfiguration, and we share in that glory, and then we go out and we share the gospel. And one of the things that strikes me is that in a parish, I always like to count the number of adult baptisms to measure the effect of the parish on the community. If we have lots of babies getting baptized, that's great. But how many adult baptisms do we have? And if we've got a parish of 1,000 people and we have 10 people per year getting baptized, that's congratulations. That's one person per century that we bring on average from that parish to the Lord.
Wow.
Not a really good statistic.
Wow. When you put it like that, that's woo.
Yeah. We really aren't living our life to share the faith, to share the gospel. When you think about, I always, I go to a daily mass and I look around and, I figure that people going to daily mass, they were social distancing for decades before COVID came along. Everyone sits there very quietly, very reverent. But the fact is it's got to be much more than our own reverence and our own prayer time. And we've got to then turn that into literally making disciples. Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. And so that's the task that God's given us. And that's what we have to be thinking about. And when we're doing that, it's exciting and it's dynamic, and that's when the parish comes alive. That's what makes a difference. And so it's moving from maintenance mode, where we're maintaining the flock, to mission. And so many people, priests, seminarians, go into the ministry because they want to be shepherd teachers. They want to maintain the flock. And that's great, and that's very important. But the task of being a fisher of men is very different to being a shepherd. Do you know what sheep eat?
Grass.
If you try using grass for bait when you're fishing, you're not going to catch many fish.
That's right.
So you've got to use a different technique. It's the same mission, but it's a different methodology.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's awesome. I'm talking with Kevin Bailey, Deacon Harold Burke Service, and we're talking about parish renewal. You hear how passionate he is about this. If you have any questions about what can you be doing at your parish, what can they be doing especially to keep your kids in the church, how do we talk to our young people about the faith? What about people coming into OCIA? What kinds of things do they need to be learning? Because I had a very interesting conversation with a gentleman, very wonderful guy, incredibly talented artist, who came into the church and was telling me about some of the things he wished happened in OCIA. We could talk about that as well. But we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. Talking about parish renewal, revitalizing the life of the parish. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. More with Kevin Bailey. We're on a speaking tour in the state of Texas. And we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Oh, you know what that is, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, the didgeridoo.
Oh, yeah, very appropriate for today's show, that's for sure.
I told Deacon that needs to be his next instrument of choice if he's going to learn to play.
Are you telling me he's a blowhard?
Well, you never heard me play. I've not played guitar. You haven't seen me play. Okay. No. Yeah, all the times we've been together, I've not done any music.
No, we haven't.
We'll have to fix that. Yeah, we'll have to fix that.
This is your new rhythm. You can just continue to build on this with whatever progression you feel is necessary.
Do you know anything about this instrument? A little bit of history of it or anything? Because we talk a lot about music on this show, so I think people are interested in hearing
it. I don't know a lot about it.
Just so we can at least, because it's a very interesting sounding instrument.
It is.
It's very unique.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear it, you know what
you
it
know
is.
You know exactly what it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Is this something that is indigenous?
It's indigenous. People have this and they play, corroborees. They actually, fantastic, hold it between their toes and their feet and they just continually blow all the time through it. Yeah. And then they've got, sticks that they click and, dance to it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So was it just for entertainment or was it?
I think when they have corroborees, there's always a spiritual aspect.
So corroboree, what is that?
It's a dance.
Okay.
So it's quite spiritual for them.
All right. Mm. So it's kind of like their kind of praise and worship kind
it
of
is.
History, you it's know?
Yeah.
all right. Very good.
I'm
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very, very special guest from, as you can tell, from the land down under, from Australia. We're beginning a speaking tour here in the great state of Texas. And Kevin Bailey is with us. We also have Charbel Raish and Dr. Robert Haddad, who will be on the show later this week. Kevin is an expert in parish renewal. So we're going to talk about that now. So if you have any questions at all about how to renew and revitalize your parish, if there's things you can improve your OCIA or even, mysagogy, which is, after a post-baptismal catechesis. So once the catechumens come in and they get baptized and they're part of the church, we start working on the next group behind them. What about them? They're still neophyte Catholics. I remember just when I was in Midland, Texas, I was at the men's conference, and there was a gentleman there, very, very talented artist, and he'd just come into the church. So I said, "Oh, what was your experience like?" And he said, "Well, it was a lot of videos and a lot of presentations, but he had questions. He thought it was going to be more interactive, like question and answer and sharing and experience along with the learning. Of course, you got to do the learning part, but he thought it was going to be more holistic." As he said, it's just got a lot of information. So he said he had to do a lot of stuff on his own. I was like, wow, that's not the way
lots of ministries that are set up. You have Augustine Institute, Ascension Press. You've got all these different organizations that are providing all sorts of courses and services. And so people that are hungry will find right across our church is we've got so many resources. EWTN has got, wonderful resources that we can make available for catechesis. But one of the things that I think that comes before catechesis is offering people an encounter. Unless people have that encounter, then, we end up, we can catechize our young people, we can catechize adults coming into the church, but before we get to catechism, we've got to have evangelization. So what happens is we can actually sacramentalize our kids, but not evangelize our kids. So if we can actually provide an opportunity for an encounter, our Protestant brothers and sisters, quite often, when they've got teenagers and young people, they really focus on giving them an encounter. They talk about being saved. They talk about giving them an opportunity to meet the Lord. And we in the Catholic Church can learn a thing or two, that if we give our people an encounter, once you know you've met Jesus and he's real and the Holy Spirit is real, then it changes everything. It's a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. We'd love to hear from you today. We're talking about parish renewal with Kevin Bailey, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, if you got a chance last week to catch our Beacon of Truth playlist edition, you probably know by now there are multiple episodes. The playlist is getting quite long at this point. But last week we talked about John Lennon's Imagine. If you have missed it, just easy to find at Podcast Central. Go to EWTN.com/podcast or wherever you stream. Just simply subscribe to Beacon of Truth playlist and then share that with your friends.
All right. We're talking about parish renewal with Kevin Bailey. And so tell us, how'd you get involved in this past. Well, let me get the number out. So as we're speaking, if you have any questions about keeping your faith, keeping your kids Catholic, anything about teaching in the parish, renewing or revitalizing parish life, would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Great. I got involved because, unfortunately, in Australia, there's only about 10% of Catholics that are baptized are practicing. We've had a huge number of people have left the church. The secular society, you know, steals our children away from us, steals people away, and they offer them a fast food instead of the banquet. Mm. And unfortunately, we've had a situation where we've been merging parishes and we've had shrinking parishes, parishes that were aging and shrinking in numbers. Mm. And so, you know, one of the things that I recognized was that if I wanted my kids to have a church to practice in, I needed to ensure that the church was coming alive. It wasn't beige, bland, boring, and there were no other young people there, where the average age is in their 60s. And nothing wrong with people in their 60s, because I'm in my 60s. So we can be pretty cool too. But nevertheless, I made my decision that if I wanted my children to follow the faith and for the faith to be central in their life, it had to be central in mine. And I talked a little bit a moment ago about how I asked Jesus what's on his heart. And he really does not want our parishes to be declining and dying. And so, you know, the focus that I had was, okay, how can we actually make things more energetic and more inviting? So that invitational culture. And I met a priest from Canada, of all places, Father James Mallon. He was at an Alpha conference in London. And Alpha is this program that is designed to give people an encounter with Jesus. It really answers lots of their questions. And it's not the Omega, it's the Alpha. It's the beginning, not the end. It's just the beginning. And so Father James was very involved with Alpha, but he thought, it's no good if someone actually has an encounter, then they go back to boring, bland, beige parish where they don't feel welcome. And so the three keys that Father James talked about was the power of the Holy Spirit to actually pray and to be focused on prayer for a parish to be renewed is to be really steeped in prayer. So prayer is absolutely at the center. So the power of the Holy Spirit is what converts people. We can't convert anybody. We can give an opportunity. We can actually invite, but then it's the Holy Spirit's job to actually transform someone's life. So the power of the Holy Spirit is the first key to parish renewal. The second key is the best of leadership. So many priests go through seminary, they have no leadership training whatsoever, and then they get thrown in the deep end. And so leadership is really important. To lead out of a team, lay people can come behind their pastor and they can support their pastor and they can actually make a huge difference. But we need to have coaching and leadership. And then the third key was that we need to be invitational. We need to have mission at the forefront, because when we're focusing on serving the needs of the parishioners, we will never run out of it. Most priests and most people working in a parish find that they're drinking out of a fire hydrant. Everything is throwing at them. They've got to do funerals and they've got to do weddings and they've got to have all these other things that are going on in the parish, and they never get around to doing work to evangelize people outside of the church. So when they, interestingly, when you actually put evangelization and mission at the forefront, miraculously, all these other things start to get done, because you're building a leadership pipeline. It's like reformed smokers. When you get someone who's just given up smoking, they want to tell everyone else about how good it is to stop smoking. So the idea of new Christians really getting involved in their faith, so everyone should have a job. And so, you know, it's a bit like the parish needs to be a battleship, not a cruise ship. Too many of us see the parish as a cruise liner where we get served and we just think, you know, you go on a battleship, everyone's got a job. You know, in fact, in the parish, if you haven't got a job, then you're not pulling your weight and you're not really involved in the parish. It's a bit like when you're involved in a sporting team, they always say you only get out of it what you put in. And so my brother-in-law is he loves his local football team because it gives all sorts of support to his kids and gives them a sense of purpose and a sense of teamship. and they really he loves it, but he's in there every day of the week and involved. And so the parish needs to be the center of our life, like some people's sporting clubs are the center of their life. And so what happens is if the whole parish is united on mission, then there's a sense of purpose and it's exciting to be there and to be a part of it. And so my sense is that we need to bring hope to priests, life to parishes, and people to Jesus. And it's in that order. For so many priests that have been burnt out or they've been overworked and then they feel like they're not getting anywhere, then they become jaded. And so my job is to get out there and to actually help the priest know that we've got his back. I ended up working with Father James with a ministry called Divine Renovation. And it's been a game changer over the last 7 or 8 years. I'm involved with that in Australia. And it's provided all the resources and the backup for us to do what we know we need to do. And there's lots of other organizations that are doing things for parish renewal, but it's all about making it front and center and making it on purpose. And so getting out there and making mission the primary focus of the parish, as I say, the only club in town that exists for its non-members, getting out there, inviting others, having an invitational culture, and then bringing people into the community of the parish, getting them to have an encounter with Jesus, getting them to experience the Lord in adoration and the Mass and the sacraments, and then being involved, having a job to do in the parish. You only get out of it what you put in. And so the first thing we've got to do when we bring someone into our parish is give them a job.
Yep. That's it. I love
it. Put them to work.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Series listening to Beacon of Truth. And we're talking with Kevin Bailey about parish renewal. If you have any questions about how to renew, revitalize your parish, keep your kids in the faith, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Michael on YouTube, let us pray for the revitalization of the Catholic Church worldwide.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And I think the things that Kevin is talking about, because you're right, I remember being a kid and being at the parish, for me, I felt just as comfortable there as I was at home.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, I mean, I just, oh, I'm at the parish, oh, I'm home. It felt the same to me.
You were blessed.
You know, being part of a parish community like that. And I look around now at young people, and like, what happened? Like, they're apathetic. I mean, it's funny, last night, you know.
I used to be apathetic, but now I just don't care.
Kevin, sorry. But, you know, so remember last night, as you were talking, you know, this flood of young people came in. From the youth group, I guess finished like some kind of prayer thing, the adults took them to listen to the talks last night, and it was wonderful to just watch them, you know, because it just reinforced to me they want to hear truth.
Yes,
they want to see beauty. I said it
truth,
all the time.
Beauty and goodness.
I said it all the time. Everywhere I go, they want to hear truth. Why are we so afraid to talk to them about the truth?
Well, what's happened is we've become timid. And you say, what's gone wrong? We've become timid. We've stopped proclaiming the gospel. We've stopped talking about Jesus. And so when I had my children going through the teenage years, what happened was people in the parish started saying, oh, don't talk about Jesus. Let's just give them some social movie night or some tennis club. Or let's make it, but whatever you do, don't mention Jesus. And so we became timid. And we didn't give them opportunities for an encounter. And they can smell it. They know when we're not not fair dinkum, is an Australian expression. But we're not real about what we're living. And then they think, well, this is just a bland imitation. And they don't want imitations. They want to be called up. They want to be asked to live a daring adventure. And so often, when you talk about patriotism or you talk about what's worth laying your life down for, you know. And so I've watched each of my kids as teenagers when they first fell in love. The first time there was someone in their life more important than themselves, they would basically come alive and they lived a life that was unbelievable because they were focused on the other. And so if we can get our young people to be focused on Jesus and to have an encounter with Jesus, then they become empowered and they start to change their whole life. And so that's the key. And so when they're not getting that and they're not seeing that, then they think, what's the point? And so we talked about my son didn't want to go to church anymore, not because he was a bad person, but because he saw that it was a bland, bleak imitation of what was really, what it was really supposed to be. And so what I needed to do as a father was I needed to actually demonstrate that the faith was central in my life, because kids look to their mother for nurture, but they look to their father for character. And so often we find that it's not fair, but if the father doesn't practice his faith, then the chances of the kids practicing their faith is far reduced. It's, you know, literally about 20%. Whereas the mum could be so faithful and so good. And my wife, I'm not even worthy, you know, she's got more character in her little finger than I've got in my entire body. And yet if my wife was practicing her faith but I wasn't, the chances are it would be really hard to get the kids to go along. Whereas if the dad's practicing, there's about a 70 or 80% chance that they'll practice. So it's up to us men to man up and to actually have muscular Christianity and to make Jesus the center of our life, so that our kids know that we're prepared to lay down our life for. If we don't know what it's worth to, you know, what's worth dying for, then yeah, we won't know what's worth living for. Yeah. And so it's only, look at what's happened in this last week with Charlie Kirk. You know, whether you loved him or hated him, the fact is he was proclaiming Jesus and he was trying to speak the truth. And people just responded. Young people responded to that in droves. And we've just seen that right across the states at the moment. People are really coming out and starting to have the courage to actually talk about their faith themselves and starting to stand up for things that they believe in and question the narrative if it's not the truth. And so searching for the truth is what they should be finding in the Catholic Church. It's what they should be finding in the parish, and it should be putting them on mission to bring other people to an encounter. It's like when you have an incredible experience, you can't wait to tell others about it. And so it's like the women who found the stone was rolled away at the resurrection, and they ran back to the apostles to say he's risen. You know, they want to share the good news, and we have to be literally enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is in theos. It comes from that word, the Greek word, I think, for in God. And so we need to be really excited about our faith, and we need to be crazy. We go crazy about our football team, but we don't go crazy about our God. So, yeah, you know, we think we're a bit nut jobs, you know, if we're crazy about our faith. But somehow it's okay to be crazy about a football team.
Yeah. Mm. We're talking about parish renewal, revitalization, and keeping our kids in the church. 833-288-EWTN. That's the phone number for you to join us today. Would love to have you. 833-288-3986. Yeah, I think the key, Kevin, that I'm taking away from what you're saying is it's all about relationship, that yes, encounter. You know, just like you said, when you met Grace or when we meet people, we can't wait to share our experience of that person. But why don't we do it with Jesus? We yeah, say, Jesus, you're the most important person in my life. You're the heart. You're the center of everything. You're my everything. Jesus, I love you. And but yet we don't act like we're in love.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that is so attractive when we are in love. There's nothing more attractive than young people in love preparing for marriage. My wife and I spent 30 years working with couples preparing for marriage. It was the most exciting ministry because they knew every detail about the wedding day. They knew what where people were going to sit, what they're going to eat. They knew what they were going to wear. They knew everything about it because they were actually focused on getting married. But it's not just the wedding day. It's the whole marriage. And it's being in love that is really attractive. And so we need to be in love with our Lord. And we need to actually support our priest and love our priests. And let them know that we've got their back and that we're in this together. And you know, they have really sacrificed a lot to follow Jesus. They've given up everything and they're walking with the Lord. And so, and sometimes, you know, they've become a bit jaded or whatever. We think, hey, we've got your back and we can follow on. And so I've come across so many parishes in the work that I've done with Divine Renovation. You know, I've talked about Australia, how so many of the parishes were, you know, diminishing in numbers. And yet we're seeing the numbers go up. We're seeing the parishes come alive. I've seen, you know, miracles that have been happening. And it's just been extraordinary. I'm off to New Zealand after we finished the tour here in Texas with Father James, and we've got 500 people gathering in Palmerston North in New Zealand, and I know that it's going to be one of those mountaintop experiences. Mm. I know that people getting together and sharing their faith and talking in a way that is very, very real, and people encouraging each other and believing that it's possible. And once you believe it's possible, you can actually do anything. We can change the world. And so Parish renewal is at the key. So many times I've heard, and I've heard Father James Mallon talk about this. He wrote a book called Divine Renovation, From Maintenance to Mission. And one of the things that he talks about is that people get involved in the movements, and they find that relationship, and they find that encounter, and they find that belonging, and they go along to the parish on a weekend, and sometimes it looks like they're using it as a sacramental gas station, where they just go along and fill up with gas and go again, get the Eucharist, and they're out of there. And it shouldn't be that. It should be where they come to their weekend experience and they have this incredible experience of great homilies, great hymns, and great hospitality, the three H's. So the thing is when a parish gets it together and is focused on it and they're intentional, then the Lord is able to work within the community, work within the people, and to actually empower people to be out there bringing new people in because it's worth, you know, coming into. And after COVID, people have been questioning. This is the time when we are at the point where people are prepared to come. If you ask them, they would come. They would be involved. And so the Holy Spirit is doing amazing things in France, in the Netherlands, in countries that I thought were, you know, even worse off than Australia, in Canada, where, you know, the Quebec was the used to be the heart of the Catholic faith in North America, and now a less than 4% practice.
Wow.
And yet in the very in Quebec, what we're seeing is parishes that are coming alive that have never had experienced this before. There's Father Michael Leclerc in St. Ignatius in Montreal, who had not had a adult baptism since 1978 in his parish. And then in 1916, he said, that's going to change. And now they are literally sending out parishioners to other parishes to bring other parishes alive. So there's that multiplication, where we're not just focused on our own parish, because Father Michael's parish has just been alive, and it's, I just love going there. But now there are other parishes, which parishes from his parish are going and helping other parishes come alive as well. So it's when we work, when we stop focusing on how we can be fed, and we start feeding others. I know when my wife and I, my wife came with me to Father Michael's parish in May, and she said, we've got to go home and tell our parish priest about this. And I said, wait a minute, he might send us to another parish that's dying. And then she goes, what makes you think we're one of the first fruits of our parish? I thought, oops. So the fact is that when we're prepared to lay down our own life for the sake of others, then what happens is miracles start to happen.
That's awesome. We're talking about parish renewal and revitalization today and keeping our kids in the faith. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Very special guest, Kevin Bailey, who works on parish renewal all over the world. I mean, you've been traveling the world multiple times this year.
It's my fourth circuit around the world.
Your fourth circuit around the world. And I thought I traveled a lot. Holy cow. but you're doing some great work. And literally, the American, you're putting your money where your mouth is, right? Yeah. So you're helping to support schools and Catholic education, and it's just doing some amazing things with the gifts and the talents, your enthusiasm, your passion, your knowledge, and be able to share that, you know, not just within your parish, but so many other organizations outside the parish are benefiting from the great work and the people that are hearing your talks.
We've all got time. But, you know, how we spend that time. So time, talent, and treasure. But also influence. It doesn't start with T, so that's a bit of a problem. But but we can actually impact and influence others. We can actually share what we're doing. And so you can't serve God and mammon. So God trusts us with our wealth or with our money because, you know, there's a danger that that could lead us astray and we won't get to spend eternity with him. But, you know, if we keep focused and keep our eye on the prize and keep our eye on Jesus, then we actually start to think that really what he's given us is really from God anyway. It's not being generous. It's just giving back to God, which belongs to him. So that could be time. It could be talents. It could be treasure. It could be our influence, our capacity to be able to encourage one another to actually make a difference. And so on the limited time that we've got here on this earth, we've got the privilege of being part of God's mission, Jesus's mission. So as I said, the church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And all you have to have is the desire.
Absolutely.
Because, I can't do that. I'm not a teacher. I'm not this. We can't make excuses. Just have the desire and cooperate with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and work with your parish, and things can happen.
It's very exciting. And I think that the Holy Spirit is doing things at the moment. I spoke to some priests from France who, back in April, they actually told me that Easter they had 184 new adult catechumens, and next year they got 250 in Toulouse. So I was like, wow! So all I can say is Aslan is on the move.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Charbel race tomorrow from Perusia. Until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.